This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we're live. It's Friday, September 20th, 2019. I have bronchitis, so if you hear that weirdness in my voice, like I'm a little bit too nasal, or I start to cough live on the air, which could happen because anything can happen. I just want you guys to know. But hashtag no advice, please. I've got two kinds of inhalers and some drugs and some competent medical care. Just not feeling great. That's okay. So we have heard a ton about sex tech, right? Sex tech. There are all these articles. There's actually a women in sex tech group that's based in New York. And I was reading an article recently in Forbes, which was about sex tech, although this one was called Audio Porn. Women are leading in the multi-million dollar category of erotic tech. And the writer of this points out that most of the innovation and investment in female pleasure has so far been focused on the body rather than the brain, which is a great, it's actually a great point. We've seen a lot of money being thrown into new technologies around, well, basically around sex toys, around pleasure products. I mean, if we're counting drugs in this, around the endless stupid search for pink Viagra. So it struck me as like, right, exactly. Why are we throwing all this money at our bodies, which are super important and which aren't being served well by various industries, but not our brains? And it made me think of when I was in Atlanta recently, I was at Bianca Loriano's SAR. And one of the exercises that we had to do over this two-day training was they told us, please create your pleasure organs. And then they gave us all these like art materials. So of course, when everyone was done, you went around the room. Some people did like 3D and some people did drawings and cut out little, you know, pieces. And there actually was this amazing clitoral glands made with a pipe cleaner that sort of was twisted and coiled. I hope you can picture this. Remember those old fuzzy pipe cleaners? It was like coiled up. And so it was really amazing. Obviously, I'm still thinking about it. So there were a lot of, there were some boobs, but there were a lot of penises and a lot of vulvas out there. And for me, I drew I drew two images on one page that was split in half. I drew my brain and I drew my butt. Because I tend to think of the two most important pleasure organs for me to be my brain and my butt. And that came back to me when I was reading this Forbes article about audio erotica, like how much have we invested in that incredible sexual organ we call our brains? And we are going to talk to someone today who knows a lot about this. Gina Gutierrez will probably ask you how you're feeling when she meets you. As co-founder and CEO of Dipsy, Gina is an empathy-driven entrepreneur focused on helping women feel sexually, mentally, and emotionally empowered through audio storytelling. Dipsy's stories help women tap into their sexuality on their own terms, unlock confidence, and develop a more holistic sense of well-being. Forbes calls Dipsy the, quote, headspace of erotic content. So please welcome one of its founders, Gina Gutierrez.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
So I drew my brain, Gina, at that.
I love that.
At that
story. Pocket that anecdote.
So it's sort of perfect. I think we're sort of on the same page. But it didn't really strike me until I sort of saw it in that sentence, in that piece, that we have a lot of amazing technology around our bodies, but we haven't necessarily invested in this kind of missing link, the brain.
Right.
So I guess my first question, though, is how did you end up in this world? Because I know in the past you've worked for lots of big Fortune 500 companies like Google and Reebok and Third Love and DoorDash. Thank you, DoorDash. I ordered from you yesterday. and so those are all these big, big companies which have little to nothing to do with sex. Maybe Third Love has something to do with boobs. But how did you then come upon this idea?
Yeah, so I was working with those companies at different agencies, and I was helping them figure out how they could connect in relevant and meaningful ways to their customers. And that's kind of finding this authentic sweet spot between what the company is good at and does and what people actually want. So it's super psychological. And I studied psychology in school, and I'm just always wondering what makes people tick, what they're thinking, what their hangups are. And so that's really been the common thread between the work I used to do as a design strategist, figuring out, you know, elegant solutions for people in their lives, and the work that I do now, which is figuring out how do we tell stories that really make people tick in a very different way. And I've had this idea for a long time. In college, I would talk to my female friends about their sexual experiences, and so many people were dissatisfied with them. And I would ask the question, well, what are you thinking about during those experiences? Are you caught up in your own stress? Are you thinking about what your body looks like? What's happening? And that question used to surprise people. And it just was the early spark in realizing that people didn't think about their mood and their mind state as part of sexuality, and that that was something that was a real opportunity.
And not only is it part of it, I mean, I would say it's a huge part of it.
Huge.
It's part of the reason why... you don't need to say this, I will. The drug that they've put out in the market at IE doesn't work. I mean, the research on it is really awful. It's kind of shocking that they even approved it based on the numbers, because most of the people who were affected by it had the placebo effect, and they admitted that. Yep. But essentially what they did was they said, we found Viagra, and Viagra works on men's bodies. And so let's figure out the thing that will increase desire and arousal in women. And they went about it with the exact same model. And like, lo and behold, it doesn't work.
Right. This like physiological like path that they took is indicative of a huge cultural misunderstanding about the female sexual experience. And I think that that's what's so hard for so many people that I've talked to who identify as women, who really have this challenge where they feel like their whole lives they've been told, you know, you're really complicated, you're really needy, you're really demanding. Like, just women in general, they are complex in sex. Like, the whole reason that people talk about pink Viagra being, you know, this crazy, wild idea is because there's this belief that it's unsolvable, that like women can't ever find the easiness with sexuality that men do. And I just fundamentally reject that. It's just because we've defined sexuality by the male experience, like we have everything in the world, right?
Right. Well, and it's also ironic because one of the things you have to do to unlock how to figure out women's sexuality and desire is actually to listen, which male researchers often don't do, right. And which your product is actually all about. So that doesn't escape me, that irony. But one thing when I was reading your bio, when I was researching the show, that really jumped out at me was that you consider yourself an empathy-driven entrepreneur. Okay, Gina, we've got to break that down. In fact, I may take a whole segment breaking that down, because I think that here we are all operating in late-stage capitalism, which is designed ultimately for hoarding billionaires, and the rest of us are getting fucked under that system. And people are constantly talking about having a feminist-run business, or an ethical business, or a mission-driven business. And then many of these businesses, especially those that become publicly popular, then reveal this kind of dark underbelly, right, of sexual harassment, misconduct, low wages, unfair working conditions, you know, no medical leave for pregnancy, and on and on and on. We've seen this with a lot of different companies. And so there are people out there who think capitalism and compassion can't coexist. It's not built that way. It won't work that way. So when I read this thing about you being an empathy-driven entrepreneur, I mean, my ears immediately perked up and I said, okay, we've got to break that down because that's of great interest to me. What does it mean to you?
Cool. Let's definitely unpack that. I'm smiling on the other end of the phone. You just can't see. I think empathy-driven entrepreneur sounds like such a buzzword. So in some ways, I actually really don't like it, but it is authentic in that I mean it. I think that everything that I do as a business, as Dipsy, I want to make sure that it's for someone, right? I want to make sure that every decision that we make is because it is helpful to someone in some way, that it is improving someone's life in some way. We're not just building to build. We're not just seeing an opportunity and grabbing at it because we think there's money in it. We think that this is a really amazing way to empower women in their bedrooms, which has huge implications for what it means outside of those walls. And we, in so many ways, have developed a team, my co-founder and I, who feel so similarly about that. And it is kind of interesting to operate in such a feminist enclave full of women. We, you know, of our team, 13 identify as women out of 15. And that's a sea of women in, you know, boardroom spaces, which you don't see very often. No. And we have this interesting opportunity to just take a very different approach to how we build culture, how we talk to one another as team members. We talk a lot about psychological safety. How do we create an environment that really supports people while also pushing and nurturing their growth? And how do we create a product that has women squarely in mind? And that's so interesting within a greater capitalist system, which you're spot on in that we are operating in that system. We accepted venture capital. And I think our perspective here is we don't want to operate outside the power structure. We want to take on the power. And in so many ways, you need capital in order to do that. This product could not exist if that was not true. We would not be able to create such high quality, amazing audio if we weren't paying people to make it, if we weren't paying voice actors, if we weren't paying studios, if we weren't paying people to make it.
Right. Technology is expensive.
It is very expensive.
All come up with great ideas, but actually to execute them, it's like there's a lot of coding and there's a lot of technology behind it so that we can, it can look a certain way and it can work a certain way. And
yes.
Yeah. And it's driven by, you know, solid content.
And there's so many people working so hard on the back end to make our product amazing. And so many people thinking about the things that I imagine most businesses don't. Like we're actively, last month we had the first month where we worked with more voice actors who are people of color than people who are white. Like that was a major turning point for us in a month because it was frankly harder to find those people. And we did that work to find those people. And I just think that that's exciting, not only because it matters to us, but because it matters to our users. There's real alignment here where, you know, women write to us and they're like, thank you so much for considering consent. We're not just doing this because we care about it. We're doing this because people care about it. And the fact that there's alignment there is so incredibly rewarding. It's like, wow, look, we can operate in the system and make good things and it can work. How amazing is that?
Well, and it remains to be seen, can it make money? We're going to talk about that too, because we're talking about capitalism.
Sure.
But we got to take a break. We have to tell people what it's all about. I've been listening to those voice actors in my ear holes all day. So I have so many things to say about these audio stories and the way they're told and the way they're produced. It's quite different than any other product that's out there on the market currently. So let's take a commercial break, hear from our great sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest. And when we come back, more with Gina Gutierrez. Stay with us.
Are you ready to fall in lust this September? Every fall, the Pleasure Chest focuses on their inclusive and accessible pleasure education program. Pump up your pleasure IQ with a free workshop at one of the Pleasure Chest's five locations in LA, New York, and Chicago. All workshops are open to adults 18 and over of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship statuses. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram or check their full fall winter lineup of free workshops at pleasurechest.com/events. Plus, to celebrate their 48th year in business, they'll be featuring a few of their favorite classic toys and those that continue to inspire a long legacy of pleasure. They'll be sharing those toys and pleasure tips on their blog and Instagram all month long. Go to pleasurechest.com, use coupon code Tristan for a free massage candle, and don't forget to follow them on Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Are you passionate about sex education and want to build your career in the field, but you're not sure how to do it? Or maybe you've begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid. My Sex Educator Bootcamp training programs, level 1 and 2, are now available online, and they are great for sexuality professionals of all kinds. You'll learn how to develop your vision and mission and communicate them effectively. Discover tools for branding, marketing, networking, media coverage, building your audience, and more. The number one question people ask me is, Tristan, how did you get involved in sex education and how can I? Well, today's the day to find out. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. As usual, bad host forgot to give you the phone number because we're live. If you want to talk to me and my guest, Gina Gutierrez, you can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. That's if you're listening live. If you're not, no problem. You can still tell us about your favorite kind of erotica, how your brain works on desire, whatever you want, questions, comments, on our 24-hour voicemail line, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Well, I wanted to jump down into a wormhole of venture capitalism and the patriarchy, but I'm going to save that for later. Don't worry, folks, because I feel like we should tell you what we're talking about, which is this product that Gina is the co-founder and CEO of. It's called Dipsy, and it's an app that lets you listen to audio erotic stories. It's got a lot of variety. First, let me say, you can pick from a number of categories, which I found very helpful. It's like men and women, women and women, BDSM, group situations. There's one called exes. I think there's one called vacation. And so in the same way that you might go to a porn site and there would be categories, you can kind of pick the category. And then when you get to the next page, you see the titles and they give you a little taste of it. Is this sweet? Is this romantic? Is this rough? There's one that was rough. I was like, click. So the interesting thing is that when I first heard about this, I was like, oh, wait, is it audiobooks? Just read audio erotica, just read and maybe shortened instead of a full book length to these little nuggets. But it's not. It's actually entirely produced. So if you could imagine listening to the soundtrack of your favorite porn movie but you can't see anything, where there's noises, where you can hear someone sort of smack their lips together, where the people are talking to each other, where they're kissing. And they break it down also into these variety of narration styles. Gina, do you want to talk about that? Because that was one of the things that I didn't think of until I started listening to all of them, that there's different narration styles, like different POVs.
Yeah, sure. So I think we think about diversity in all different spectrums. So we want to make content that's straight. We want to make content that's queer. We want to make content that feels like the narrator is more talking to you so that you, the listener, can feel like you're almost a participant in the story, which is something that audio is really great for. But sometimes you also want to feel kind of like the voyeur, the fly on the wall. And that is really awesome in a more dialogue-focused story. Sometimes it's really helpful to communicate the safety of the experience between characters, let's say between strangers who meet for the first time, to know what both characters are thinking, sort of be in both of their brains. So we kind of choose our narration style based on a couple of those thoughts and what we think is going to be most effective for that story.
Yeah. So I heard, a kind of a, like a play, right? Like I heard where there were a woman and a man and they were interacting with each other and I was listening as kind of the listener. Right. Then I also heard a man just talking directly to me as if I were sort of the object of affection and telling me sort of what he wanted to do to me and, you know, how turned on he was by me. So it's just this guy's voice in my ears and me. Then I also heard a really interesting one where there was narration as if a woman is telling me a story about a sexual encounter that happened. And then all of a sudden it sort of morphs into it happening. And then it's more like the two-person thing, which I really liked for some reason. I was like, oh, this is even, I think I like this system the best.
That's so interesting. And it's so observant of you to really like see those styles, because sometimes I think for people, they're just in it, you know, they're just immersed in it and they're not necessarily seeing like, oh, I like this more, I like this less. The style that you're describing is the dominant style in Dipsy. That's like classic Dipsy style. But like I said, I think always thinking about the edges of experience and what other people might like and kind of accounting for that in the mix will always continue to happen.
Because it's a totally different experience when someone is just in your ears talking sexy to you, basically.
Definitely.
Versus you overhearing two people talking sexy to each other and doing stuff to each other.
Right.
And there is something about, I mean, I've always had this thought, you know, I once shot one of my very first movies, Chemistry, that I shot for Vivid. Basically, I told all the actors that they could do whatever they want, whenever they wanted. And I didn't set a lot of rules. And, you know, on that first one, you realize that there have to be some rules. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that they did was they all went into the bedroom at one point and they had one candle lit and four of them had sex. And when I got the tape back, that was on when videotape was a thing, people. When I got it back and played it back, I was like, I can't see anything.
Oh, no.
I literally can't see anything, right? So that had to be a rule. Like, if you're going to film
hear
sex,
something, though?
Like, we have to be able to see it. So I didn't know that that was a rule until it happened. But I have to say, in watching that back and not being able to see anything, and all I could do was hear it, it was still really sexy. It yeah. still totally worked as a scene, because you vaguely saw bodies moving, you knew stuff was happening, you heard sexy sounds, and it was still really hot, not seeing anything.
And so what did you think that was for you? Like, what was hot about it for you? Can you like go back and think about why you liked that?
I mean, on the one hand, there was an eavesdropping quality to it. You know, like I'm the kind of person that if the neighbors at a hotel, in the hotel room next to me have sex, I'm like up against the wall. You know,
I definitely know what you mean.
That doesn't like disturb me at all. I'm actually sort of fascinated by it. You know, people get annoyed or whatever. But I am actually fascinated by it because I'm somehow in this thing that's really intimate and they don't know that there's another person there. Right. Cause the wall is separating us.
Or so they maybe know a little bit.
They maybe know because maybe they know they're being so loud. And so I liked being kind of an eavesdropper, and I liked being able to kind of fill in the blanks.
Yep.
I knew these people. I'd shot them earlier in the day. I kind of knew their bodies. I knew their personalities. That was kind of drawn for me already. And so then I had a sense of I could fill in the blanks here, and this is really hot.
Yeah, I think the fill in the blanks imagination aspect is the big one.
Yeah, because people, I think it gives you an opportunity to sort of imagine these characters as you want them to, right? So that they can look any way you want them to, they can sound any way, they can have a certain dynamic. And so in that way, it has more of a universal appeal than traditional visual porn, which is like, if you're not into the people on the screen, you kind of have to go to the next scene.
Yeah, it's relatability is a surprisingly important factor in all of this. It's like fantasy matters to a degree, but if you can't see yourself in some aspect as part of this or as like this, it can be hard.
Yeah, and I also wondered, people must just be wired differently. Like some people may want to be the observer of the scene and some people may want to be actually in it. right? Definitely. Someone talking to them.
Or that same person might have a different mood one day and another day.
Right. Or there was that hybrid. I did hear that hybrid version where she was telling me the story and then all of a sudden I was like seeing it or I was just hearing it. So this is part of when I did this is also, I can't like turn off my nerd brain, right? So whenever anyone's like, go to this conference, take this class, have this experience, whatever it is, it's like, a portion of myself is trying to be like fully present for the experience and be the sort of designated thing that I'm supposed to be, like the viewer, the audience, the listener, the student. But then there's always a portion of my brain that's sort of caught up in this case, like thinking about the production, thinking about the point of view and the different perspectives, thinking about how it got
that's
set
the
up.
That's the curse of the creator.
And so I'm also like running through all of that in the back of my head and I can't shut that off.
Do you have burning questions?
Really fascinating. We do have to take another commercial break. I still have more questions to and I may reveal what my favorite story was, maybe. But let's take a break. Before we go, I want to tell all of you what's going on at the Pleasure Chest in the coming weeks. As you may know, the Pleasure Chest has free sex ed classes at many of their locations. In New York City, September 23rd, erotic fluids, fetishes, golden showers to snowballing with Tina Horn, who's one of my favorite presenters ever. September 25th, Self-Pleasure 101. In Chicago, September 22nd, Sensual Sorcery. September 25th, Sex and Disability. And in LA, September 25th, Consensual Non-Monogamy and Polyamory Basics. Go to pleasurechest.com. Click on events to see the details about these events. If you happen to be there and want to shop, you should do that. And you should use coupon code Tristan at checkout to get a free gift. And we will be back after this break.
Hey, Dylan, guess what?
What's that, Ginger?
I'd love for you to come with me on this amazingly sex-positive, queer, and polyam-friendly, kink-aware, all-inclusive resort vacation in paradise.
Oh, really? This trip sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Ginger A. Bentham stamp of approval?
It has the sexiest name. It's called The Swing Set Takes Desire. It takes place in Cancun, Mexico, at Desire Riviera Maya, November 2nd through 9th, 2019. This trip to paradise is co-hosted by JV and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Bradford and Angela from the By the By podcast, and special guest Tristan Taramino, author, podcaster, and creator of excellent ethically produced porn. And you can find more information at swingsetdesire.com.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Get with the times. Everybody knows about swingsetdesire.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set is hosting its 8th annual trip to paradise. Drop your information in the form at swingsetdesire.com and boom, hot tub happy hour.
No way. I can go there and come there too. There's this super hot harness I've been dying to use.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to swingsetdesire.com and book your trip to join us for the Swing Set Takes Desire, November 2nd through the 9th, 2019.
All right, Dylan, I'm on it. Swingsetdesire.com.
You'll be glad you came.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Do you ever listen to audio erotica? That's the question. And maybe you can actually answer it by calling us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am talking about Dipsea, D-I-P-S-E-A. It's an app that gives you access to audio erotica storytelling. The co-founder and CEO is Gina Gutierrez. So I was exploring the app and here's all of my unfiltered feedback, Gina. You ready?
Oh my God, I'm so ready. I can't wait.
Oh my God. Okay.
Wait, should I write this down?
No, it's fine. You can listen to it again. We're recording it. So it's so useful. Okay, so one of the things I appreciate is that they're all different lengths. I would say like the general length of them is like 8 or 9 minutes. Some of us need more than 8 or 9 minutes. So I want there to be a category where I can go on that's like 12 minutes.
Okay, so we're actively talking about this with the editorial team. So here's a question for you.
Okay.
Would you want the sex scene, meaning like the sounds of pleasure, the like rolling around, is that what you want to go on longer? Or do you just want to be left with like sound, like you feel like you're still in it in some more ambient way so that you can like finish pleasure? Like what would be more like,
I think more sex. For me, it would be more sex sounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, that's more really sex good sounds.
Yeah. But so this was the other funny thing about listening to it is, as I said, I couldn't turn off my nerd brain, right? So I was like, am I going to be able to, on this lovely Friday afternoon, get off on any of these, or am I going to just be furiously taking audio memo notes? The good news is I did get off. Thank you, Dipsy, for my afternoon orgasm. And yeah, so I just wanted it to go on for a little bit longer. I had to sort of extend it out in my brain, but I already had like kind of the, you know, I had the parts, but I wanted the sound.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought of is one of the interesting things is like, how are you getting these actors? Because it really does sound like they're having sex.
Yeah.
There are these sounds that happen while people are talking or talking dirty to each other. But there are these sounds that sound like skin on skin, that sound like someone's like hips bumping into someone's butt.
Oh my God, it sounds ear to ear because that is what we hope for.
Okay.
You know,
like, but as a pornographer, I'm like, how are they getting this? Like, how are they making this? Because this is these are fine tuned details that I feel like the average person who's just like throwing this up as an app wouldn't get. But I did really feel like there was a whole production happening, because how else could these little details of sound of someone's skin on someone's skin or a kiss or whatever, or like something moving, how do you get all that? Like, how are these choreographed? I don't even understand it.
So first of all, our audio team is amazing. They are just so dedicated. They care so much. Like, we are recording Foley, you know, the captured sound of life all the time. Like, there are parts of stories that are out in bars and we wanted to capture realistic sound. So we go and capture it at a bar. Like, these are things that are happening all the time. And all these kind of ambient body sounds are the same way. It's like you can get them in different ways than like actually slapping someone's ass. There are other ways to get that like satisfying smack. It's just you have to be really creative about it and create basically a sound library of sex, of pleasure, of body on body, of movement. And we're making that, to my knowledge, for the first time, which is so cool. And it's also credit to our actors. They're not necessarily recording in the same room. It happens very rarely. They're recording separately. And not only are they able to match each other in tonality, our audio producers are doing such a great job of stitching it together. It's past my understanding of how it is done. And that's a good thing, right? People smarter and better than me at it are making it now.
Because the only vague connection I have to this is I did narrate one of my own erotica books, the audio book version, right?
Yeah.
And I actually did it with a friend. And so we weren't, this wasn't someone who like makes audiobooks for a living, or it was like very DIY. I was like, for a while, Audible had this thing where you could do it yourself. And I was like, let's do that. And he had audio skills and he was an engineer, but he wasn't like, oh, I do this every day, so let me tell you how it's going to go. So I really had to kind of learn as I went along. And again, some of it is straight narration, but some of it is dialogue. Some of it is noises written into stories. How am I going to act that out? I'm also just one person and there's more people in the stories. And it's just, for you to say that these people are not in the same room is shocking to me. Because not only does it sound like they're in the same room, it sounds like they're having physical contact. It really does.
I know. It's really the magic of production.
It's kind of an art, though, like that hasn't necessarily been done before.
Yeah,
who else? I mean, like, who else is in this space? There are some people doing it, or no?
There are other people in this space, but no one is necessarily taking the time to produce these immersive soundscapes. Like the idea that you're dropped into a room with two people just living their life and that you hear the fridge opening to your left and you hear them having then sex to your right is not a thing that we've seen anywhere else. But there is a lot of audio erotica that's organic content that people put up on the internet, right? Like Reddit is full of pleasure sounds and, you know, Gone Wild is like a huge source of that. And there are now a couple companies that have since cropped up after Dipsy was founded that are doing some, you know, user-generated content and some more produced content, but not to the degree of we're putting you in a setting and a soundscape. And I would imagine that the reason they haven't is because it's really, really hard to do. It's going to happen eventually. Someone else will do it as well. But it's really hard. And we've been really lucky because we've been able to talk about what we do, not just as a, you know, really interesting first time, let's figure it out together, pioneering thing, but also as an art, exactly like you say. And I think that allows us to attract really creative, wonderful people who are just excited to try and to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking some of these voice actors could totally have their own like fan clubs, right? Oh, yeah. Where all they do is make these little clips and sell them. You know, it's like they get hooked on the person and then you find that person on Instagram and you're like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. And now I'm going to pay like 25 cents to like just hear him say hi to me.
Totally. And it's going to be exciting for us when we get bigger, you know, to your point, when we actually become, you know, hopefully the future of this big business, big Dipsy, in this future world that we can really have long-term relational contracts with our voice actors, right?
Yes.
That's a really exciting future for us too, versus these one-off, like this is a project and this is a project, you know, work with each other once a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting for us because some of the choices that we make in the app are designed to put the user first. So what I mean by that is we're not like follow Dale, the voice actor, and hit like listen to him across stories, because we want you to think of Dale as you know, Aaron in this story, right?
But there are some episodic stories, so I could get invested in this one character.
Exactly. Yeah. So that definitely can happen, and that does happen. We hear that all the time, like in the Hot Vinyasa series, people are like, oh my God, I need Mark to come back.
So I want to talk about diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
This is a big issue for me, for my listeners, and I know from reading this is a big issue for you, but I'm also wondering, how do we represent underrepresented identities when all we have here is the voice? So if you're talking about trying to get people of different ages, different body types, different sizes, different races and ethnicities, different abilities, how do you do it when all you have is the voice?
So what we can do as a company that holds itself to a high ethical standard is to work with a diversity of people and to give people opportunity to have their talent showcased in our stories. And so that means on the actual casting end, on the partnership end in the writer's world, we can reach out to as many people as we can and ask about their experiences. And in the writing world, that's amazing also, because when we get to partner with someone with an experience that we don't necessarily have as an internal team, that allows for so much more authentic storytelling. So it really is so mutually symbiotic and beneficial. And so that's what we can do. From a user perspective, it's really interesting because something like ethnicity or disability doesn't necessarily translate, like you say, in their voice. And it's also really interesting because you realize that things like race and ethnicity aren't necessarily one-to-one with a certain sound, right? And that's something that people, you know, I think take for granted, that there's certain ways that certain people speak. And there have definitely been voice actors that have been misattributed as white who are not white. And that's okay. That will happen. Like, we are all people. But it is really interesting to think about the disconnect between what we strive so hard to do as a business, but then sometimes are not able to communicate to our users because we are so protecting the idea that every story is your story, is your world. It's not like the people who make it behind it. It's just your story. And that's something that we struggle with.
That's fascinating because it's sort of like this is new territory again. Certainly in the stories themselves, you can describe things. You can describe different kinds of bodies. You can describe someone in a wheelchair. You can describe, you know what I mean? Like, so we can hear it in words, but we can't necessarily hear it in voices.
But you're bringing up a really good point, right? Because there is opportunity, even if the character is described as being in a wheelchair and the actor is not someone who is in a wheelchair, at least we are representing as authentically as we can that experience, right? There are two ways, you're describing two ways that we can be basically thoughtful around this idea of diversity and inclusion. One is providing opportunities to real people, and the other is representing the reality that is the diverse world that we all live in. So it's two layers.
Right. So I've got all sorts of ideas. I'm going to take a break and we're going to go to a commercial again. I'm going to go back to my ideas, my unsolicited ideas, Gina.
I'm soliciting them. Gimme.
Okay. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I've got more ideas for things that aren't yet on the app that I want to hear on the app. Hopefully, maybe you do too. You can also tweet us, you know, at Sex Out Loud Radio. If you've got a question or if you want to say, hey, you know what I would love to hear in an audio story, it's this. Tweet us and then we can talk about it on the air. So listen to these commercials and come right back.
Are you ready to fall in lust this September? Every fall, the Pleasure Chest focuses on their inclusive and accessible pleasure education program. Pump up your pleasure IQ with a free workshop at one of the Pleasure Chest's five locations in LA, New York, and Chicago. All workshops are open to adults 18 and over of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship statuses. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram or check their full fall-winter lineup of free workshops at pleasurechest.com/events. Plus, to celebrate their 48th year in business, they'll be featuring a few of their favorite classic toys and those that continue to inspire a long legacy of pleasure. They'll be sharing those toys and pleasure tips on their blog and Instagram all month long. Go to pleasurechest.com, use coupon code Tristan for a free massage candle, and don't forget to follow them on Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores. You may know me for creating various forms of media centered around sexuality, gender, relationships, feminism, and pop culture. I'm ready to take a big risk and do something completely different, and I hope you might join me. I'm working on a family memoir focused on my own coming-of-age story woven in with my father's. It's a story about growing up, multi-generational queer experience and history, love, loss, and the meaning of home. I started it and I hope to have it completed by the end of 2019. This isn't just a new book, though. It is way outside my comfort zone, and I've been wanting to write it for years. But I've been kind of terrified to share this personal story with the public. I mean, I'm comfortable telling you about my love of butt plugs, but it feels way scarier to tell you about my family, my innermost thoughts, my mental health, and one of the most significant events in my life, the death of my father. If you want to support me and my writing, you can go to patreon.com/TristanTaramino. Thanks.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Have you already gone over there and checked this out? DipsyStories.com. I downloaded the app. You can too. We are talking with its co-founder and CEO, Gina Gutierrez. Gina, I have a few more questions for you. So you've got, as I said at the top, you can choose these different categories. And as I think you probably know, there is a large group of women of all sexual orientations who love to watch and read gay male porn. Right?
I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming. And I was like, because I was thinking of a specific lover of mine who would go bananas if there were like two men having sex, like because they particularly really like stories and dirty talk and all that stuff, but like their preference would be to see two men. So yep. Is that coming? Is that on the horizon?
So there are a couple stories that are two or three men, but it's definitely light in our library.
Where do I find it? What?
So there's one called Commando.
Okay.
There's one called Bloom, which
how do I find it?
You can search them. Just search the story on the search page.
Commando. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or search him plus him if you want to see the category. Yeah.
Got it. I didn't see the him plus him category. Yep. Maybe I didn't look at all the categories.
No. It's all good. I mean, it also shows that there's a lot to search through, but it's definitely not a huge part of our library. It's a huge request. It's also partly been a little bit of a supply thing. So we have a lot of, first of all, our team of writers, we have an editor and a writer, are both women. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of the writers that we work with in a freelance capacity identify as women. And so that's awesome. That's amazing. But we also want to tell stories in real ways. And now we have some people that we can work with and tell their stories or fictionalized versions of their stories. So it's coming. The pipeline is rich with him plus him.
Mm. Okay, good. And then that also made me think of, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have Joan Price back on the show. Joan Price is sort of the maven of senior sex.
I love this question. Wow. I love all your questions.
You know, she's written a bunch of books on senior sex, and she's all over the media about it. She also just did a video with Jessica Drake, Jessica Drake's Wicked Guide to Sex, Senior Sex. And I would love Joan Price to come in and do sort of like a curated collection of stories that are by and about and then voiced by seniors. That, I mean, and so that could be, and it could be its own special, look at me doing your job for you.
First of all, I would love an introduction. Okay. Second of all, this is hugely part of the future that we imagined for Dipsy. But to be completely honest, to go back to the earliest part of our conversation, we are a company that need to prove that we can continue to exist. And that involves being successful. And so
Let's talk about money. Right. Okay, so what is the financial model? Because right now I can download it for free. I can listen endlessly for free.
No, you cannot listen endlessly for free.
You can listen endlessly.
Five stories. You can listen to five stories endlessly for free. So those are always available to you, but it's limited.
The medium.com or New York. There's like a paywall.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Tristan, you're special. We give you a year. So you're in.
Oh, that's why I could listen. Okay. Okay,
so,
got it.
Generally speaking, either you get a monthly subscription or an annual. So annual means you're paying $3.99 a month, but you have to pay up front. So it is a heftier bill up front. And then monthly is kind of for commitment phobes. It's a more expensive monthly price, but it means in 2 months, if you decide that you want to take a hiatus, you can. So it's a subscription model. And to go back to the kind of age question, we've been hitting pretty hard, like a millennial set, because we want to make it really great for a certain set of users who know us and love us. Mm-hmm. Amazing. That can continue to prove that we are a business that is working. And then those people and other people will age. And there are already people who are talking about wanting to think about exploring their sexuality with relevant characters that are talking about like the postpartum experience. What about like, I just had my first divorce and I'm back out in the dating scene. Like, make my life rich with like the sexual possibility of what I could be experiencing. Like, Dipsy is the place for that, and we want to be that. It just becomes a question of like, what's next? So that's like absolutely in our future. We're so excited to get there. We're just not totally there yet.
Yeah. Okay. And then when we go back to the money question, you know, one of the things that I thought of was, it's hard to be a woman in tech space at all. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be a woman operating in these venture capital circles, which has a very specific sort of male-dominated bro culture.
Yep.
Then you're a woman and you have a product that has to do with sex. What was it like to sort of navigate the waters of pitching this in Silicon Valley and elsewhere to people that you want to get money from? As a woman, like in that world, and as a woman who then was like, and our product's about sex.
I think this is like a two-part question, honestly. And one of my answers is around identity, and the other is around kind of the actual experience. So I had to quickly oscillate, I think so did my co-founder, between two kind of identities, like the nurturer of a creative space for women, right? And like a real empath, right? Like, what do people want? When we're talking about a sexy story, it's not like, let's make a fireman story. It's like, well, why? Why is a fireman hot? Like, why is that an interesting story? What's underneath that? Is it the idea about being protected? Is it the idea of someone who is, you know, a local hero? Like, what is it? Why? And that requires so much empathy, right? We're going back to your first question. And I'm that person in this creative sphere, because at Dipsy, I'm kind of in the content landscape. My co-founder is much more focused on the product. And then out in the world, I'm like this, you know, fast talking, hopefully persuasive, metrics talking person that I think in many ways is playing more of like the classic Silicon Valley maybe male trope. And that was really odd to kind of be both these things. And it was hard. That was a hard time in my life, figuring out how I could be both. And I'm happy to be on the other side of that and realize that I can be both. I think I have masculine energy. I think I have feminine energy. I think I'm just, you know, I try my best to be a good person in all spheres, be my real self in all spheres, but we are different things in different spaces, right? So that was a hard thing for me to realize that I really could play in both landscapes and still stay me.
I think did you face like a sort of a resistance / I'm at a frat party giggling sort of pushback from anyone that you met with?
Yes, sure. But that was not the dominant experience. And, you know, partly that's because it's super self-selects. Like, we were pretty open that we would, you know, email people and be like, we're an app for short, sexy audio stories designed to empower women.
Right.
There were plenty of people that were like, nope. And that's great. We didn't have that meeting. It wasn't a waste of both of our time.
Okay.
So, yes, it happened. Yes, once we had a meeting with someone we were so excited about and they canceled an hour before, like things happened, but it wasn't overwhelmingly men and vests laughing in our faces by any means, because I think the story is really compelling. You know, this is white space. It's clear that this is this kind of rogue territory that only kind of small players have been able to play in, because taboo has been so heavy.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you make space for someone to, you know, play a bigger game? And I think people were excited about that because the trends look good, right? Like on Pornhub.com, the number one trending search term in 2017 was porn for women. Like, I could imagine that there's very few hits for porn for men, because porn generally tends to be more for men.
Right.
And those kinds of story, you know, anecdotes, I think really were exciting for venture capitalists the same way they were exciting for our friends, you know, being like, that all makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering how you sort of navigated that space, because I feel like there's still a lot of inequity there. And then when you throw sex into the mix, there's just the opportunity for people to be so disrespectful that I want to smack them.
Yeah. I feel generally lucky that was the minority of experiences, but I think that there is something about, people's inability or lack of desire to get much deeper than the surface level. And in some ways, maybe that's good, right? Like, we get to run our thing. We get to do our thing. No one's like, I think that you should be putting in more blank content. Like, no one's listening that deeply.
Except me.
Except you. So maybe you should be an advisor. But so in that way, you know, we're able to operate in a way that truly is very user first. And that's been amazing. In other ways, it's a little weird, because I would imagine that that's a different level of depth than others get. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's next on the horizon? What's 2.0? We've got like 1 minute left for you to tell me what's around the corner.
So you hit on a lot of the future excitements for us. Like, we're really excited to expand access to more people. So the first was Android, which just released an Android app last month, which is really exciting. Release more internationally is huge for us too. There are certain markets we can't play in yet for all sorts of government reasons, but there are a lot that we can. And so we're out there now and thinking about how to create content for people with different sorts of interests, different preferences, different ages. That is all coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone should go check it out. I want to remind you, you can go to Dipsea Stories, D-I-P-S-E-A, like dipping your toe in the sea, stories.com. You are also Dipsea Stories on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited about this app.
It's been so fun. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. We've got a lot of amazing guests coming up from now to the end of the year. Raymond has been working his magic, and the lineup looks exceptional. And for now, I'm not going to even tell you who's on it. I'm just going to say it's pretty great. I did tell you about Joan Price. Until then, you can get me across all social media platforms at Tristan Taramino. The show is on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And until next time, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.